So this Gemara in Milta Aleph Amud Aleph, incredibly rich.
Oh yeah, we have a move from that Gemara.
Yeah, we have Rabba and the middle of Aleph Amud Aleph. You have Rabba, you have Rav Yosef, very dense. So last week we dealt with the Rabba, so the Lamdusha Machlekes Rishon Machrom, how to understand Baila Be'ir. After the initial Machlokas Rashi and Tosas, it appears to be a Machlokas whether Baal Be'ir in fact is Mutter or not. The subsequent Machlokas, it appears to be Machlokas Rashi and Rambam, as well as a rich Machlokas Achronim, whether Baal Be'ir is Mistafimi Bal Hashtasi, as Rashi said, a concern that in real time the husband may show up, versus a more general sense of inhibition that a wife has when her husband is around. Her husband's around. Suggestion came up over the course of the week. I don't know that Poskim actually consider this, but it's an interesting idea. Is it so much the fact that the husband is right now in the same town as her, or is it more the fact that he's coming home every night? He feels like around as opposed to feeling out of town. It's interesting svara. I don't know that post can actually accept that halacha, but certainly a husband is in town, even though there isn't a real chance of him showing up in the near future. They're in a different location, and you know that he's locked up at work, whatever it is. We also discuss a libo gaspa, chachmas adam. You need to really reimagine Libo Gaspa to fit with Rashi. According to Rambam, It's straightforward. So now we have this next din of Rav Yosef, that the Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim is also not a concern of Yichud. That's the next Memram on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. Shulchan Aruch has what looks like a pretty straightforward presentation. You have a house, the door is open to Shus Rabin, there's no concern of the Yichud. So that seems pretty straightforward. But the truth is, though, once you start digging in the notes, again, and the tour in Beis Yosef also, very, very straightforward. Gemara, shut. Once you start digging around in the chronim here on the page, you realize that there are three or four questions you have to ask. You got to figure out what a Pesach is. You got to figure out what a Pasuach means. You got to figure out what a Shus HaRabim is. Like every single phrase has to be defined. And then there's a larger question of are there exceptions. I think every heter we've had up until now had its Yotze Min HaKlal. Shnei Anashim, but not Prutzim. Shnei Anashim, but not Badera. Imo Bito, that was a sturdy kula. Baal Be'ir, but not Libo Gaspo. Rashi said, Shlosh Anashim, but not Misha Sakav Anashim. So how about Pesach Pasuach? So let's take a look. So beginning with let's begin with the question of Rishus HaRabim.
Real Rishus Barabim, there's not many places where this din applies.
Yeah, so the Bar Heitev opens the conversation by thinking of it as a question of when. As we had the Shnei Anashim, he said that was a time-sensitive heter, a time-dependent heter, by Lila is three. So here, the Bar Heitev also introduces a question of Yom versus Lila. Here the Bar Heitev quotes from the Knesset HaGedola, Bar Heitev's main job is to summarize the two main Nosa Kalim on the side of the page, which in Ebenezer Beishmuel Chalakas Machokik. Every once in a while, he'll add from other notes, other early Acharonim as well. See, here, after the Bar Heitev and O's test, it begins by referring to the question of Kina Labayla, which we'll get back to. And then he goes on to talk about the following. Hard the pischo pasuch the rishus harav mein choshishin dafka bayom. Afa balayla lo. Pesach pasuch rishus harav mein is only a daytime matter. A nighttime it doesn't apply. But then he explains, I don't mean literally day and night. And it has nothing to do with teis ha-kochavim, nothing to do with shkia, nothing to do with mishiyakir or los ha-shachar or ha-netzachav. No. Laila nami dafka b'shtei shows, so gimel shows v'yosef. 2-3 hours into the night, shebnei adam mitzvim bivateim, they ain't over v'shav. I mean, after there's no longer traffic on the street, everyone's already home. Aval b'chatzi shah shalayla, the first half hour, if we're still within a couple of weeks of Hanukkah, so the chatzi shah already sounds familiar, and he digs into that, he embraces that even more. Shebnei adam over v'shav and v'adayin lo kol sa regal min ashok. Kiyom chashiva lei, the ain choshishin liyicha, and that's the Knesset Hagadol. It's like the early Achronim from the 1600s. See, he says, Pesach pasuach l'shus harabim is only when there's traffic on the street, not late at night. So you could think of that. At first glance, it's a question of when, but more fundamentally, it's really a question that's an example of the question of what do we mean by Rishus HaRavim. What is Rishus HaRavim? What's the Rishus HaRavim? Now, we already saw earlier on Pei Alpha and Aleph that there was a scenario where there was a concern of Yichud, even though they were literally in Rishus HaRavim. Rav Rav Yehuda of Kazli Ba'urcha, they're on what sounds like a public thoroughfare. There was a woman there, and Rav says, we have a serious Yichud problem. So again, we saw the Machlokas, Rambam Raivin versus other Rishonim, was it Aser Maker Adin, was it Mutter Maker Adin, because they were Shnei Anashim Kshayrim. But there was no discussion about it being mutter because they were Rishus HaRavim. That's better than Pesach Pasuach. Your mom is in Rishus HaRavim. What could be better than that? What could be better than that? Makes them comfortable. But what could be better than that? Elamai, you see from that Gemara, that there are different definitions of Rishus HaRavim in different areas of Halacha. And we know that. We know that the definition of Rishus HaRavim in Hilchos Shabbos is not the same as, let's say, definition of Rishus HaRabim in the context of Safek Tumah. We talk about Safek Tumah, Din Daraisa, it's Safek Tumah, Rishus HaRabim, Sveikul HaKel, Safek Tumah, Rishus HaYachid, Sveikul HaKmer. One of the features that distinguishes the halachas of Tumah V'Tara from the rest of halacha is that we treat Safek differently. That Tosfos and Nazir says, the fact that Safek Tumah, Rishus HaRabim, Sveikul Tar, that's consistent with the way we treat Safik and other areas of Halacha, because that's based on Chazaka. I have something, I don't know whether it became Tameh. It was Tahar, I don't know whether or not it became Tameh. I don't know whether the dead sherets touched the cookie. I had a bowl of cookie dough, it had been Tahar till 5 minutes ago, and then there was a Safik Magar, it may not have come in contact with the dead sherets. So the usual rules of Safik B'chol Tahar Kulu would say, look, it's you have a Cheskes Tahara, it was tar until 5 minutes ago. So you assume it's still tar. So Safek Tosas Nazarite. Safek Tum Rishus HaRabim Sveiko Tahar, that's consistent with the rules of Yisrael Heter. The unique aspect of Tumah is that Safek Tum Rishus HaYachid is Sveiko Tameh. So what do we mean by... So that's a Chiddush. It's actually, interestingly, a Chiddush that's somewhat... related to Hilchos Yichud. Because the Gemara says that, where do you get this idea from? That Safek Tum Rishus HaYachid, this really special rule that if you're Rishus HaYachid, and all of a sudden, even though you have a Cheskes Heter, you assume is Le'eser, the answer is, that's actually learned from the Parsha of Sota. Nistra Vahi Nitma. You keep using the language of Tumah in the context of Sota. It's not Tumah, the usual sense of Tumah V'tahara, Ava Tumah Rishlan Tumah. So the Gemara derives from that it is a different sense of Tumah, but this is a Safek Tumah. This man and woman were alone. This married woman was alone with some other guy. V'nistra v'hina Tumah. And there's a Safek. There's Raklaim L'davar. It's more than merely Yichud. It's Kinu and Stira. It's a combination of the the steer, the yichud, preceded by the kinu, creates a suffix. It doesn't create an assumption there was, no? So it creates a real suffix. And it creates a real suffix, and we treat her as a surmi suffix, even though there should have been a cheskas heter. So that becomes a paradigm for even in the context of what we usually refer to as tuma, that if it was in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, so suffix tuma is tuma. Where did Rosh Hashanah Yachid come from? V'nistra v'hinat ma. You only say that the woman is a woman and this man as well have an Isur misafik if they're a besesim. And that's why the definition of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in the context of Safik Tuma is two people as opposed to three people. If there are three or more people, it's called Rosh Hashanah Rabbim for Tuma, but if there are only one or two people, then it's called Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So you have one definition of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim for Shabbos, and that has to do with it being public Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Mamash has to do with being a public thoroughfare and traffic. And then you have, in the context of Safik Tuma, has to do with you know how many people are there. And then you have Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in the context of Dinei Mamash.
Right.
And that has to do with ownership. There are three independent definitions. So what do you mean by Rosh Hashanah Rabbim over here in Hilchos Yichud? So it's similar to Tuma. So here, so the Bar HaTev, according to the Knesset Gedola, the Bar HaTev, according to the Knesset Gedola, it has to do with traffic. It's similar to Tuma. It has to do with traffic. And that's what the Pesachei Tshuva quotes it. Beginning of Sivkat and Tess, and Sivkat and Tess deal with a different issue. Beginning of Sivkat and Tess, I am Barahetim Shem Knesset Gedola, Dafka Bayom, Vachatzi Shal Me'alayel, during the daytime, the first half hour of the night. That's the Barahetim quotes of the Knesset Gedola. Pesachei Tshuva says, the Chidot discusses it as well. I am B'Sefer Beis Reshutas Birka Yosef. It's one of the Chidot's farm. On Shulchan Aruch, Kasav Azev, Dvarim Shel Tamim. It makes a lot of sense, because she ain't over Veshav, my Mahani, Pesach Pasuach. Was it help the doors open to what? To an empty street? Again, that's rooted ultimately in the story of Rav and Rav Yehuda. Just because it's the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in theory, it is in theory a public thoroughfare, and it may be publicly owned land, it may be public access, but if there's no one there, there's no one there. Then he goes on to have a discussion. There's a Gemara that maybe seems otherwise. He says, look, there are places where there is traffic at night as well. The city that never sleeps. And actually, Sivkat Yud, he quotes the Chacham Zadim who wants to know, maybe it is mamish the same as Rosh Hashanah Rabbim L'Tumah, which is ironically ultimately rooted back in Sota. If there are three people in the Chatzar, so maybe that's called a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. L'maisa, the poskim say, that again, even though the question of time isn't really about time, as the Pesachei Tshuva and Sivkat and Tess already points out, there could be places which are where there are Ovrim Veshavim throughout the night, and there are places that are, where there are not Ovrim Veshavim even during the day. Like Rav and Rav Yehuda, who are presumably traveling during the day. So I think the Dvar Halacha quotes, I believe, from if I remember correctly, from both Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and from Rabbi Yashiv, that you have a place where people are walking by every 5, 10, maybe 15 minutes, and it's random, so that's already enough traffic to be called Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But if it's less than that, then already you get into Rav and Rav Yehuda territory. That's already the equivalent of Beis of Gimel Shavuos Balayla that the Knesset HaGedola was talking about.
Rabbi, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim 4 o'clock in the morning is really not a Rosh Hashanah
Rabbim,
right?
Right. Well, for Hilchos Shabbos it would be, but for Yichud it would not be. That's exactly what the Knesset Gedolah is saying. Again, unless if you're in Midtown Manhattan,
night shift.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you really need to assess. You need to assess the actual traffic patterns of the place in which you're located.
Rabbi, but are we concerned that someone's going to walk in? Or I mean, don't we have to determine what
yeah, so pasuach means? Okay, so that brings to the next question, which is what's pasuach?
Right, because you don't know.
Correct. The next question is what's pasuach, and that's the previous Pizchei Tshuva, and this sif is incredibly rich. Pizchei Tshuva and sif Karim Ches, he lays out a lot.
So in an apartment building, then you still need somebody walking by every 5 or 10 minutes? If you're on the third floor?
Probably do.
They actually have to be, or the potential is always there that somebody might be?
You want to know, maybe that's what the Chachma Zadah means, to quote by the Pesach Shuvah of Kohen Yud. That once there's a group of people that belong in this space, there's where he buys the Chatzah. It's not just a random street and there's no one there. There are people who live here. Yeah, there are people who live here, but I don't expect, I know that 3 o'clock in the afternoon, everyone's at work. Once upon a time, people used to go to work. You're supposed to work from home. Yes, go. You people used to go to work. I'm in a suburban bedroom community. There's no one here. There's no once upon a time. There's no one here at the 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I think
even in the city, let's say you could have a floor with 7 apartments on it, and there could be nobody that walks in the hall for 2 hours, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that anybody could be there anytime. So the fear of the possibility of somebody coming in is there.
Right, you're saying that right. The every 5, 10, 15 minutes has to be an average.
Is an apartment building even a Pesach Pasuach?
Well, the question is the hallway
Rishon's Rav? And if it's, is it open? I mean,
we'll get to it.
I'm just saying. You're surmising that the apartment building, you know, I don't know where that falls in any of these characters.
Right, so that's the reason. There are two questions that work in tandem, but there's two separate questions. One is, what was Pesach Pasuach Rishon's Rav, and what Shulchan Aruch puts a bias, a Pasuach Rishon's Rav, and bias a Pesach Pasuach Rishon's Rav. It means the man and woman, or the man and two women, as the case may be, are in space number one, and then there's space number two, which is Rishon Rabim, and there's a relationship between space number one and space number two. So one question is, what do you need in order for space number two to constitute Rishon Rabim? And the other question is, what sort of relationship? What does it mean that it's Pasuach? So that's what the Pizchei Tshuva picks up in the Sifkan Ches. And he presents it as a machlokas achronim in the 1700s and achronim in the 1600s. As he says, it's a machlokas radvaz versus, on one hand, versus Rekiv Eger and the Beis Meir on the other hand. Let's take a look inside. I am b'tshuvas Rekiv Eger and the tshuvas Hagon Beis Meir. You saw in Simon Kuf and Rekiv Eger, he's largely quoting the Beis Meir, and then Kufal, if he responds, Kasav ikal medek mizeh ha pesach sasum afilu eino no. Pasuach means open. But if it's closed, even if it's not locked, u ponelu shasarabim, pasuach lachatzer, it's facing, it opens into shasarabim or chatzer, but the door to the shasarabim or the chatzer isn't wide open, is just unlocked, who ima b'yichud b'abayis, and he or she are otherwise alone in the house, havi yichud. He thinks that's the mashmos kedushin pe'alef, because they think that pasuach means wide open, as opposed to sasum. We didn't say eno null, we said pasuach. And now, and then the kidega base may deal with the fact that there is a rashba. There's a chuvas rashba, it appears in two different places, in Chelek Aleph. I don't know the history of the collection, the Tshuvas HaRashba. There's this one enormous Chelek Aleph that has well over 1,000 Tshuvas. And then there are 6 other Chalakim, based through Zion. Then there are 1 or 2 other Chalakim also, so not part of that sequence. And there's a lot of, there are a fair number of tshuvas that appear in more than one place in the collection. Sometimes mamash word for the same sentence, a couple of words different, sometimes a little more of a difference. So I don't know what the history is. Obviously, they were going around trying to collect tshuvas the Rashba written all over the world. There may have been at least a partial set of copies on the Rashba side. The Rosh writes in one place, I think in Hilchus, he's discussing Chol Hilchus Chol Moed. It talks about whether you're writing a tshuva in Chol Moed, is a mutter for the Talmud to copy it. That tells you that that's how Rabbanim maintain copies of their correspondence. There was a Talmud who was making a copy for the files. So it probably was a combination of copies the Rashba had together with things that he did not have, but they were collecting, they went all around trying to see what Sholem had received. So you do have this Shuvah appears in more than one place, and the Rashba writes, here he quotes, "My Deisa B'Tshuvas HaRashba, Simon Aleph Reishon and Aleph," not Reishon and Hey, it's also Tough Reishon and Aleph. "Ein Yichud," Rashba writes, "Ein Yichud Ad Sheha Bayis Nol B'Minol," it's not Yichud unless the house is locked, and he references a Yerushalmi about Sota. Rekiv Eger in the base mayor hold that's a Toh Sofer. That is a Toh Sofer. The word shouldn't be Yichud, the word should be Yesod. Interestingly, if you took a look, this Tshuvas HaRashba I mentioned before we were getting started, you look in the tour in the Beis Yosef in Simon, here in Simon Chav Days, Siftas, there's not a lot of material. He says it then. Beis Yosef just says, it's a Gemara in Pei Alf. That's the beginning and end of the story over here. If you look earlier back in Halachas, back in Simon Yud Aleph, the Beis Yosef actually does quote this Rashba. Beis Yosef quotes this Rashba. And there's a long, long footnote in the new tours. Where they give you the whole background about the deep into Simon Yud Aleph. In my edition, it's page Kuf Hey. No, it's page Kuf Gimel. Because of Rashba, Yitshuva, Elevation and Aleph, Gafas Delasos Shamarta, you mentioned about the doors, closing the doors. Einze, he doesn't say Einze Yichud. See, the way the Beis Yosef quotes it, the way Kiveger suggested it should be. Einze Yisod. He says, there's nothing to do with Hilchas Yichud. They're discussing the Dinim of Sota. Discussing Dinim of Sota and other related Dinim.
What does Yisod mean in that context?
There's no basis. It's a response to what the Shoel had said. You had made a comment. The Shoel wasn't asking about the Isra of Yichud. The Shoel was asking about a Sota issue. A woman, a married woman, was alone with a man under these circumstances. There had already been a kinois. Now we have to figure out. Well, there wasn't a kinois in Davar Machur. Trying to figure out, is she asura b'diavad or not? So the fact that she's not asura b'diavad, if the door was closed but not locked, doesn't mean that it's mutter l'chad, that you're allowed to enter into such a situation. So if you have the girsa in the yichud, so then the Rashba is making a broader comment about the halachas of yichud, the isra of yichud. Is actually mutter. If you just say Enze Yisod, it's just in context the response is like, I don't agree with, he's saying to the Shoel, there's no basis for what you said. He's not saying it's not a violation of Yichud. He's saying there's no basis to say that the woman should be Asura to her husband B'diavad. And that is what B'Kiveir suggests is the Girsa that we have here. There's a long footnote in the new edition of the tour. They say they checked many different early versions of the Beis Yosef, and they all say Yisod, they don't say Yichud. So that seems to support. Now, support what? It supports Rekiva Eger, not that Rekiva Eger is right, just that he's not necessarily wrong based on the Rashba. And then Rekiva Eger had a Chumrah. Rekiva Eger said that Pes Pasuach has to be actually open, wide open. And he said, "Hi, there's Rashba against me." No, there's no Rashba against me to tell a sod. For the Rashba never said, didn't say Ein Zeh Yichud. He just said Ein Zeh Sod. So even if the Beis Yosef, the old edition of the Beis Yosef, support Rikki Vega's reading, it doesn't prove that he's right. It just means that we're not convinced that he's wrong. The Rashba didn't take a stand. The Ratzvaz, though, did take a stand. That's what the Pesachei Tshuva goes on to quote. Rebbe Kineger and Beis Meir in the late 1700s, early 1800s, they held that Pesach Pasul was only when the door is actually wide open. But Reisi B'Tshuva's Ratzvaz, the Ratzvaz was, if I remember correctly, he was a very early Egyptian Achron. We raised a different discussion the Ratzvaz had about Yichud at work with those women who were group of women who were going to, it seems like some sort of textile factory. So here he also comments, he does quote the Rashba, Hetek Lashon Rashba now, Velo Kosev Shetel Sofer. Okay. So the Ratzvaz, if you look at the Ratzvaz inside, he is very explicitly talking from the get-go. He says that we're going to talk about, does Pesach Pasuach have to be actually wide open or just unlocked? Both with respect to B'dievish Shiasur Labaila, after I've been in such a situation, as well as the Chatchila, is there an Isser of Yichurna? He's very clear what he's talking about. So Lamasa, what emerges, as the Pesach Tshuva more or less puts it together, is at the very least a machlokas, even putting the Rashba on the side for a moment, machlokas the early Achronim, machlokas Ratzvaz on the one hand versus Rikki Vager and the Beis Meir on the other hand is does Pasuach means actually wide open or just means unlocked? And so it says the Achronim relate to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Mishnah Avodah Zarah and Samach Tes, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin. That's not in the context of Yichud Arayos. That's in the context of Hashkacha and the wine. The Nachri is alone in the wine, but is he alone in the wine or is he not? So they try to bring a riot from that Gemara. And again, the depending on the Girsa in the Rashba may or may not support the Ratzvaz Lahakel. I would note, I think I found this in the Dvar Halacha, that there's another Rishon, a generation before the Rashba, who explicitly supports the Ratzvaz, and that is Rabbeinu Yonah. Not Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva, but the same man, usually when they publish the Shari Tshuva, sort of like the classic Eshkol edition, Shari Tshuva is a long sefer where he goes through how to do Tshuva. A person's a Baal Aveira, all B'nai Aveira, so how to do the process of Tshuva. Very, very lengthy. Then he has a very brief kuntras called the Sefer Hayira, where he takes you through what you are supposed to do, how a Jew ought to live, sort of like a kitzur halachas. There's a lot of chidush from there, and so he moves very quickly. So he has a paragraph there about Yichud. He's very machmir. I think that's a general trend in Ben Yonah, and I'm not sure that everything in the Sefer Yir was meant to be Mikra Din. I believe a lot of it was meant to be good advice. I think some of it is Mikra Din and some of it is Eitzatova Kamashwalan. In the paragraph Yichud, he says explicitly, I would recommend Shiv Mi Machmir, good idea to be Machmir like this. And despite the fact he has many Chumas, and he's not ready to sign off on Yichud Achoso or even Yichud Bito, says Ishto, yes, even when she's a Nida, Imo, yes. He's not so excited about Yichud's own daughter. We definitely do not accept that Chumrah of Rabbeinu Yonah. Even in that context, he says, shouldn't be alone when the door is locked. So even though it's a contest incredible Chumrah, he takes the position of Ratzvaz. He goes on to say, he says that even if a man and two women shouldn't be alone together if the door is locked, okay, that's the Mishnah. Then he goes on to say, even if the door is open, it might be wise to avoid being alone with one other woman. Okay, so that's as we said, that's the previous piece of Gemara, that you have to avoid, every case you have to assess both, is it technically a violation of Yichud, even if it's not, is the situation appropriate? Or am I getting into lo tova ashmu, into mechur adam? But it is interesting that Rabbi Yonah is very clearly saying that, he holds that if the door is not locked, it is not yichud. The door is not locked, not yichud. That's a rishon. That's the Rishon. So you may not have the Rashba supporting the Radvaz. You definitely do have Rabbeinu Yonah.
As he explained the Gemara with walking on the road.
That is Pasuach L'chala. That's not the issue of Pasuach, because not only was there no door, it was wide open. So that goes back to the first door. That's not called, there was so little traffic, it's not called Rosh Hashanah. They didn't anticipate anyone else showing up. But if there is a space that does qualify as Rosh Hashanah, there is sufficient traffic over there, so then not only is it mutter to be over there, it's even mutter to be over here, if between here and there there's a Pesach Pasuach. What's Pesach Pasuach? Radva says as long as the door is not locked, and Rekiv Eger, Beis Meir, say not locked is not good enough, it has to be wide open. So what underlies this machlokas? It's not just, it begins as a question of pirish, parshanot. How do you translate the word pasuch? It's interesting. So Rekiv Eger assumes, he says, that one of the few lines, that the godless of the Pisrei Tshuva, he could take paragraphs, pages of a tshuva, and like whittle it down to like a couple of lines. So obviously a lot is left out, but there's godless in what and how he, you know, the lines that he captures and how he puts them together. One of the lines that Taka made it in was the diuk from Kiddush and Pe'af. What was the diuk? There are two diukim. The second diuk is the next piece of Gemara, which we'll probably never get to going forward, which is this case of Anashim Achut, Nashim Yivifnim. You have the two rooms next to each other, an inner room and an outer room, and the men are in one, the woman in the other. So Gemara is a complicated discussion. But Lamasa, there are cases where we're worried that the man may end up in the room with the woman. And to ruin the women, it doesn't sound like you're locking the door.
It doesn't sound like
there's just a rabbi. Right, so you got to figure out what's going on there. So that's why the diag is a little bit difficult, because you got to figure out how any of that works, which we'll figure out going forward. But Ricky Vager says, it sounds from that Gemara the same way this guy walked in, someone else could walk in. Elamai must be, but at least he closed the door. Okay, maybe. And the other, I believe Rekiv Yeager also says, what do you mean? Pasuach means Pasuach. Now, again, but that's, he's assuming that's obvious that Pasuach means open, as opposed to just mean, Pasuach, as opposed to mean unlocked. So that's goof of the question. Radva says Pasuach means unlocked. So it starts as a parshanut question, but the parshanut question really relates to a question of, on level two, is what's the nature of the heter of Pesach Pasuach? Or even before we get to what's the nature of the heter, what is it about the scenario that's making it mutter? This is the way Shechter says it over, and I think earlier Achronim say it as well. The Rabbi Kiv Eger and the Beis Meir, that goes back to the Gemara of Avodah Zarah also, are assuming that the heter is visibility. Anyone who walks by, you're in eyeshot of anyone walking by. The fact that you're visible is what's making this a mutter situation. So that's why if the door is closed, it doesn't help you. You have to be visible. Now, she'eno kein, the Radvaz is assuming that it suffices that other people could walk in. Even though no one walking by can see you, but anyone walking by might pop in. I think Rabbi Neuberger's Nusach is a situation of uninhibited entry. You're in a position where other people could pop in also. That's, even though they can't see you, they could suddenly appear in the room. So that's the machlokas.
How do you know if Pesach Pasuach means that you're visible? Maybe it's just variations of how likely it is for somebody to walk in. The door's open, but you're off to the side.
So I think the post can assume, based on the way Rabbi Vager fears ice, that it's only another nafkamin in the machlokas is not only what's the status of the door, but how much space is mutter. That it's only, if you can be machlok, if you can be based mayor, It means that you're with. That's right. You're within the area. You have to work out the angles. You're within the area that someone passing by can see at some point. If you're all the way in the corner, or you're in the back room, or you're in the side room, and someone passing by isn't going to see, then in a chrami, that's going to be a problem. Now, it should be noted, even according, this is a very, very important point, even according to the Radvaz, there's a chumrah, once you start to sort of build out in more abstract terms, as we're doing, what the Kiveg and Radvaz are respectively saying, it is a chumrah in both. Number one, you're right. It limits your kiveger to not only open door, but open door plus you're located in a spot that's a straight line to the door. The Radvaz also, this is very important, that even if you make like the Radvaz, it doesn't mean that the door being unlocked is suddenly like magically matter everything in the house. The door being unlocked means the door is unlocked, and as a result, someone might actually walk in. So that depends a lot on the social setting and the culture and the assumptions.
Nobody believes in knocking? Seriously, I mean, halakhically, that's a...
Yeah, knock, Correct.
That's a Chazal recommend knocking,
right? Correct.
So it's not...
Absolutely correct. Now, I can't always rely on the fact that I'm careful about that doesn't mean I can assume that everyone else in there is careful about it. And also, sometimes there's a scenario where people knock and walk in. They knock and they go in, right. As opposed to, okay, so it's nice, you knocked. But when I said someone's just going to knock and walk in, so that only gives me an extra 3 seconds, that 3 seconds don't make a difference from a Yichud standpoint.
The likelihood someone's going to go into an open door is much higher than someone.
Right, so like I said, that's what Uri was saying. Maybe even Kiveger is just saying, I'm only convinced that people are going to walk in. Mamash, open door, so that's inviting people in. Who's going to even know that my door is unlocked? So in a Chanab, I think if you look at Kiveger, especially the Raya from Avodah Zarah, it sounds like he's really looking for visibility. But it's true within the Radvaz that the door being unlocked is only useful insofar, and you may need to open the door to get this effect at times, depending on the social context. Sometimes even the open door isn't good enough. It has to. He's saying that you don't have to be visible to the street, but you do need to be in a place where people might actually pop in. So again, if you're in a bungalow colony, for better or for worse, people walk in. If you live on there are blocks that are very bungalow colony-ish, and as Rabbi Kindler is saying, that sometimes is inappropriate. Matovo lecha Yaakov, people are supposed to respect each other's space. They're just going to fly into someone else's house. That's wrong. Now, again, I'm not sure if it's wrong. If you have the 9-year-old kids, all in and out of each other's houses, it's not necessarily, I mean, it's good at some point to teach them Derech Eretz also. Okay, but the 9-year-old kids are old enough to solve a yichud problem. So if you live on a block where the kids are in and out of each other's houses all the time, and maybe they remember to knock, but they definitely, you know, they're knocking and going in, say nachanami. So then, at least in the part of the house where the neighborhood kids would come into, you've solved your yichud problem. You're in the living room, and the kids are going to come in and out, and the kids are randomly going to see you. So that's Pesach Pasuach according to Radvaz.
So Rabbi, I mean, obviously, all these examples are based on context, but no pun intended using that word these days. But a cracked open door, is that really an open door?
It's open a crack.
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah, so that sounds like a Radvaz L'chumra. It's not just unlocked. People can see, left open a crack, so people can see, who's even know that the door is unlocked unless you're trying doors?
There's no visibility maybe with a crack.
Right, but it presumably does not give you visibility, yeah.
Visibility for whom? In other words, for him, for her, for both?
Probably either one is good enough. So it's actually a beautiful maisa. We spoke about definition of Rishus HaRabim. We spoke about definition of Pasuach. There is what to talk also in terms of the definition of Pesach. This isn't much of a suffix. Post can point out this is an important expansion of Pesach Pasuach. The Kiveger doesn't accept the Radvaz. The Radvaz does accept the Kiveger. If you're actually visible to passers by, everyone holds. So Post can point out it's not only Pesach, it's Chalon as well. You have a window. If you're visible, people passing by the window can see you. That's Lama Hadron. They tell a mice about Rabbi Chaim Oizer. And as with some of the other Chaim Ezer Maisim, you appreciate the godliness of the Maisim much more when you appreciate how intensely busy he was, particularly during the World War II period. He was the Rav of Vilna, and there was a period because of the Ribbentrop-Molotov pact that Vilna became an international city, and that allowed for the safe passage of the Mir Yeshiva and many other Jews. It temporarily swelled the Jewish population in Vilna astronomically. And it was at that point, for years and years and years, Chaim Ezer was one of the recognized Gedolei Poskim of Eastern Europe. The Shiloh were regularly coming to him, you know, from down the block and from hundreds of miles away. During that period, during the period that Vilna was an international city, he was trying to manage. So the logistics of feeding and clothing and housing must have been tens of thousands of Jews at least. And he was known to be, even if only a quarter of the stories of the Taliban are true, he's known to have been an incredible genius who seems like he was a true multitasker. So they describe, he was actually like, you know, talking, having multiple conversations, different people simultaneously, and the way they describe it, and writing in two different shubas, one with the right hand and one with the left hand, like they described, they walk into the study, and like, there are a bunch of shochtim talking about akashras, and a woman came with the shayla, and he's on the two phones, and he's writing shubas, and again, I don't know if it sounds a little mugzam, but he clearly was doing a tremendous amount. His time was intensely, densely packed. And it's with that context that there are certain maisim involving Chaim Ezer giving total focus to someone, which are that much more extraordinary. And one of them is that apparently there was a young woman comes to him, and she tells him that she's getting married soon, she's in college, she's getting married soon, he's so happy for her. She's the Yosoma. She lost her mother. He empathizes, and how can he help? Can he help financially? How can he help? So she says one of the things that she needs, this was before a period in time when typically girls learn Hilchos Nida from their mothers. So she has no mother. And it was during a time of a tremendous upheaval. There wasn't a structure. She's getting married soon. She doesn't know Hilchos Nida. What's she going to do? So the way they describe, Chaim Ezer said, have a seat, make yourself comfortable. And he stood by the window of his study, like this, for whatever, probably with like an hour or two or three or four, and he taught her all Hilchos Nida, standing like this. He wanted her to be comfortable. Number one, she could be comfortable sitting down. Number two, she doesn't have to be seen by everyone. Everyone has to know. Gedendel is talking to the Rav. She's entitled to her privacy. And he discomforted himself. He inconvenienced himself. So he stood at the window. He could have taken her for a walk in the park, but then the whole world knows that she's talking with the Rav about something. So say she had her privacy and she had her comfort, and he was visible because he was standing at the window for however many minutes or hours it took him to calmly teach her all of Hilchos Nida. It captures a lot b'Nayon L'Chaveiro, especially thinking about how densely packed his time was. It also captures beautifully this point. Chalol Pasuch L'Shirabim certainly works on Chalol Deis, and it suffices that either of the two people is visible. As long as either two people is visible, so then you don't have a Yichud problem.
Was he married?
Who?
He was.
His
wife could have been in the house.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she wasn't. I guess she wasn't. I don't know where she was. Was he married at that point? I don't know historically if his wife was alive. But clearly, it could be that the other 10 times that this happened, there wasn't an issue because his wife was down the hall. So that's and that's gonna come up often. Post can point out that if you have a building that's a horseshoe building. So often, even if you're on a higher floor, usually Chalom Pesuch L'Shirabim is not going to help you, you know, unless you're on a ground floor, no one can see it, unless even a horseshoe building. So if the people across, you have a couple of couple of floors worth of windows. If anyone opens a window, looks out. If you're visible, then you have to cheshbon. Sometimes it's necessary to have a light on in your room so that you're actually visible through the window. But assuming that you're visible, that's absolutely la mahadrin. I know there is that strategy of chalon, specifically chalon where you angle the room so one of the two people is visible. So that's something that's sometimes used in therapeutic situations or in guidance situations. And MTA, that's the way from the outset, when they first brought on a woman to run guidance, so from the outset they set up her room so that boys coming to see her is blocked by a screen, so no one walking by is to see who's talking to her, but the room is set up. You can't see who's talking to her, but you can see her. And that's Chalon HaPazor HaShuva. It's the same as a Chaim Ezer, just in reverse. There's no reason why the client needs to be visible, but if the therapist, the provider, is visible. So that's often a solution. I think I've discussed with one of the doctors in the room right now, many, many years ago, that if you have a medical office, that you're not going to say, you're typically not going to have windows in the door. If you have a window and a door of a space, a suite where there are other people walking by, that's always la mahadrin. So windows are, a window can be obviously effective where you just need privacy of speech, but you don't need, you can be seen. In a medical office, you're not going to have that. But if you have a staff and you establish a culture that any of the other medical staff can knock and then crack the door open and then walk in, so that a few seconds later, so that also is going to solve your problem, assuming that you assume like the Radvaz. And it should add in terms of the Radvaz, the Dvar Halacha quotes from the Dov of Meishar, the Chabina Rav, that he thought even if the door is locked, if there are specific people who have the key who can pop in, so that's the same as Pesach Pasuach. Usually when the door is locked, it smacks a Mechur HaDavar. Again, if you're in an unsafe neighborhood, so then it does make sense to lock the door, potentially. Usually it doesn't make sense to lock the door, and usually from a Mechur HaDavar perspective, it makes sense the door to be open whenever possible. But at the very least, it's a way of overcoming, leaving aside the quite definition of pasuach, having particular people who can actually show up overcomes the issue of defining Rishus HaRabim. In other words, even if the space outside it's too late to have Ovin Veshavin, but there are particular people who can show up at any time, roommates or whatever it is, relatives who can show up at any time, so that that transforms it into a successful Pesach HaPasuach L'Shus Rabim. One more comment in terms of Chalon, and then we'll come back to Chalon, but let's talk a little bit more about this Machlokas Radvaz Rebbe Akiva Eiger. Machlokas Radvaz Rebbe Akiva Eiger, so the question is, how do we pass on L'Chol Maisa? This is very, very, very nice. Again, so if we're in a position where one or both of us is actually visible to passersby, so that's mutul chaldeis. Even your creator based mayor are comfortable with that. If we're not visible to passersby, but there is a real chance of people popping in, so that's the machlokas radvaz. On the one hand, who is Meiko and Rabbeinu Yonah, and perhaps the Rashba Payan Girsa, versus the creator based mayor Ramachmer. And this is often going to be a suffix of a daraisa. If there's more than two people in the room, then you're dealing with a suffix on a drabbana. If it's one man, one woman alone, the suffix daraisa. So what do we assume lahalacha? So my impression is that the preponderance of poskim assume that we sometimes assume like Rebbe Akiva Eiger, we sometimes assume like Radvaz, and it depends on the third or fourth, the next question. Right? We define Pesach as even chalon. Pasuach is this machlokas, which is a rabbi we defined. The one hanging question was, are there exceptions? So this you saw, the Chalkas Machlok and the Beis Shmuel both reference the Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen writes, The Beis Shmuel presents it clearly. Im kinei la sifkat yigemol aser. Shmuel said dash the simin reish mem dalat. Hesh masuach is mutter, but if there's already kinei la baila, so then she should not be alone with him, even if the door is open. Either the door is pasuach. The Chalakas Machokik understands. It is Merumas in the Truas Hadash, he doesn't say it explicitly, that the same is true for Libo Gaspa.
But that seems like it was talking about Bailo Be'ir.
It wasn't
talking about...
Correct. So they assume which?
The Radwaz, I mean...
The Truas Hadash.
I mean, the Truas Hadash was not talking about... What were you just...
I don't have the translation in front of me, but I believe he was...
No, that's...
Print it out, let's take a look.
No, that's why I... It's the first one.
Yeah. So he raises a shayla of Baila Be'ir.
Right.
Correct. He raises a shayla of Baila Be'ir. He says, Yeroeh... So he says, the first translation, it seems to me that that once is Kina La Baila... So she's not good. She can't turn around and say, well, it was okay that I was alone with the guy because my husband was in town. He just told her not to be alone with the guy. So the very least, that's Chatzifusa. And then he says, I found it in an earlier Bali Atosis, and they tell you that's a reference to Piskei Tosis, right behind the Gemara, leading Pesach Pasuach.
Oh, okay.
Piskei Tosis says Pesach Pasuach is a rabbin. The Gemara says Ein Choshishin, but a Kinei La, then we are Choshish. And then the Truma's Hadeshin says the earlier Baal Yatosis said the Kinei La Baila extinguishes the Heter Baila Beir. Near the Kolshkin Leinin, sorry, Piskei Tosis says that Kinei La Baila gets rid of Pesach Pasuach. So the Truma's Hadeshin says, well, Kolshkin Baila Beir. Kolshkin Baila Beir. That's what Truma's Hadeshin says. And the Chalkas Mechokik says, well, if we're equating them loosely, so then Libo Gaspa. Libo Gaspa also. So the Chalkas Mechokik sort of puts them all together, and Beis Shmuel points out, Truas Hadeshin said, Kin Labaila, Chalkas Mechokik is one who's expanding it to Libo Gaspa. That Baruch Hashem Libo Gaspa comes up more than Kin Labaila. Kin Labaila is necessarily a negative situation, but Libo Gaspa can be positive. As a matter of fact, Libo Gaspa specific, so this is a discussion, whether Libo Gaspa, the Gemara said Libo Gaspa is an exception, whether Libo Gaspa is an exception to Baal Be'ir, Pesach Pasuach, the Chalkas Machokeg, says it's also an exception to Pesach Pasuach. Beis Shmuel, of course, if we look in the Taz, he says not so fast. The Taz doesn't make it up to the top position in Evan Ezer. We do have him lower on the page. Sifkat and Hay, he says, by Pesach Pasuach, he quotes the Trumas Hadeshin. Kina Labayla's, Shulchan Aruch had said, back in Sifches, Kina Labayla gets rid of Baal Beer. He says the same thing, it gets rid of Pesach Pasuach. Avolvadai gaspo krovaso moilaze pischoshes rabbi. He says, Ki la baila. That's a more powerful case than Livo Gaspa. So it's my really machlokas, the Chalak Mechokin Beis Shmuel versus the Taz, whether, practically speaking, whether Pesach Pasuach works by Libo Gaspa. And there's a very, very incredibly relevant scenario that does not come up by Baal Be'er. That does come up by Pesach Pasuach, and that is when you're dating. It's going well, relationship progressing, certainly if they're already engaged, again, by Chassidim, I mean this seriously, not facetiously, by Chassidim, if you're engaged, it's probably not Libo Gaspa, but by Litvish dating, so once you're engaged for sure, and often even beforehand, things are going very well, you're very comfortable with one another, so that's Libo Gaspa. So it's irrelevant by Baal Be'er, because hopefully the girl you're dating isn't anybody married to someone else, otherwise, obviously, you have a very, very, very severe problem. But Pesach Pasuach is going to come up all the time. It's going to come up all the time. A couple's dating, so if they're dating properly, Al Pi Halacha, so you need to negotiate Yichud. That's a very, very, very important issue.
So
So the question is, this past pasuach. So the chalakas mechalki would say, you're engaged in the past pasuach is out the window. No pun intended. And Tav says, no, akin la baila extinguishes past pasuach, but libo gaspa is fine. Or as he pointed out, kravaso. Can I be alone with my sister-in-law? We're very appropriately very comfortable with one another. Can I be alone with my cousin? We are appropriately very comfortable with one another, and we have an Yisr Yichud. So a Bail beer does not help. I have a Pesach Pesach. It's going to come up all the time. Yeah.
Pesach Pesach is a question of visibility, then who cares if it's Libo Bas?
So that's the way the Poskim, I think the way Poskim assume the Halacha, that's what I'm saying. These two issues, the Halacha intertwine. They may be conceptually connected, but certainly in Lamasa, then the Poskim assume that if it's not Libo Gaspas, then we'll rely even on the Radvaz's more expansive definition of Pesach Pesuach. If it's Libo Gaspa, so then we'll rely on a Riki Veger type Pesach Pesuach, but not the Radvaz. In other words, La Halacha, we're willing to accept one cooler or another, we won't combine them. So Shechter often will point out that I said before, you know, Rabbi Kiveger, the Radvaz, that machlokas begins as a parshanut machlokas. How do you translate the word pasuach? And then it moves towards how you understand what's the driver of the heter. There's a third level, which is sort of the conceptually speaking, is Pesach pasuach a heter? Or is Pesach Pesuach? And here we finally come back to what Rabbi Kindler has been waiting for a long time. Radvaz would say Pesach Pesuach is a heter, like Ba'al Beer. Right? It's Yichud, but it's Mutter because it's Ba'al Beer. It's Yichud, but it's Mutter because Pesach, people might walk in, so it's Mutter. Kiyager is saying, and this is what you were saying. Kiyager is saying, if everyone walking by can see you, it's not Yichud with a heter, it's not Yichud. You're in the Shusarabim. You're the equivalent. You're not in the Shusarabim. But if anyone walking by can see you, that's as good as being, you're in the alcove, essentially, of the Shusarabim. So that's sort of the third layer of this onion. So that's what, number one, the Shech even presents it as the Machlokas, Chalkas Machlokas Gintaz, is sort of thinking about the other way around. Machlokas Machlokas Gintaz, Is Pesach Pesuach a heter, or is Pesach Pesuach just a definition that's not yichud? It's a definition that's not yichud. So then, how do you differentiate between gaspa and a gaspa? It's just not yichud.
Yeah.
It's just not yichud at all. It's just not yichud at all. Whereas, if you say that if you want to say that libo gaspa is an exception, is a limitation of Pesach Pesuach, then you need to say Pesach Pesuach is a heter. So if it's a heter, they can have exceptions. So, but even without that sort of that third conceptual level, practically speaking, I think the post can assume that we accept one cooler or the other, but not both simultaneously. Once it's Libo Gaspa, so we would demand actual visibility. So now that's how I would tell a couple who's dating. So you need to stay in a space where you can be seen by people walking by. So you have a bench. You found a bench in the park. So you want a space where you're far enough away that no one hears you, but close enough that people can see you. They don't necessarily have to be able to identify exactly what, but they need to be able to, anyone walking by can see you. So you have to, A, you know, pick your locations that you're visible to people walking by. And number two, that's the Pasuach piece, because once it's Libo Gaspa, we would demand Rabbi Kiveger's higher standard. And you also need to monitor, plan ahead and monitor that you still have a Rishos HaRabim. You picked a spot where you were visible, people walking by, but at a certain point, no one's walking by. So once no one's walking by, then you got to, in a harami, then you got to move. And it's relevant also putting all these pieces together. Maybe we'll for now close up with this. Cars. Let's at least begin to talk about cars. Maybe we'll talk about cars some more next time. We'll talk about Pnimi V'chitzon. Rav Moshe Feinstein is a whopper of a Chumran Tshuva. He writes, a man or woman in a car, since you could drive off to anywhere, so therefore, even when you're on the highway, it's yichud. That's, I don't think that kula is widely accepted. Hard to figure out how that fits with the dinim. Again, we have to get to pnimi v'chitzon. Now, again, you have to think about mechura adavar. If you feel like this isn't, even if you feel that's a real concern, we may drive off, or this feels inappropriate, so again, mechura adavar, totova shmuas, then you avoid it. But strictly speaking, in terms of the rules of yichud, so I think the post can assume that in principle, a car is chalon pesuch l'shel rabbim. Assuming that that's l'shel rabbim and it's pasuach. What do you mean? Number one, they have to be on a somewhat traveled street. You have to be seen in the middle of bumper to bumper traffic. But there have to be other cars driving by every once in a while, at least, and they can actually see in, which during the day is not a problem. At night, you got to figure out, can people see in, or do you need to have some sort of light on in the car so people can see in? So you have to assess. If people are driving right in the lane next to you, could be they could see in. Depends
windows.
How dark.
You have the tinted windows now.
The tinted windows are a problem. Or if it's a very dark highway, so there are parts of, let's say, the Palisades, which are very, very dark, and you can't see, even without tinted windows, you can't see the car next to you at night. That's more of an issue. I have a friend who told me many, many years ago, he did not end up marrying a girl from Muncie, but he was dated, I think, several girls in Muncie. See, he had been in touch with Rabbanim in Muncie to plan his route, because much of Muncie, even then, the streets were totally deserted. No, and you'd say vain, but so getting to the girl's house to pick her up was much quicker than driving away, because getting to the girl's house, he just went the most direct way. Once he picked her up, so he tried to get as quick as he could to busier streets, even though it was going the opposite way. And the same is true in reverse. So that's what you have. So from a yichud, from a hilchus yichud perspective, you got to assess, is it a chalona pasuch l'shel rabbim? Is there some degree of traffic on the street, people, cars, and can they see in or not? And then, again, that's number one. As we said before, we closed or we open. You have to figure out, is it yichud? If it's not yichud, then you have to figure out, is it appropriate? It may be that for a man or woman to go alone a four-hour drive, I'm on highways during the day, technically it's chalon pasuch l'shel rabbim, it still may not be appropriate. But the first step is to figure out, do we have the heter of the Pesach pasuch l'shel rabbim?
Especially emotional,
just
in a car and just taking a walk in the park.
I'm not sure. It's hard to know. It could be, say, like, walk in the park. If you walked into the house, the people might see you walking in. If you're in the car, no one can see you. You can drive anywhere.
Or being by the window, where you could duck under the window.
You could duck under the window, yeah. Yeah. What? There's more to see in terms of the architecture, halachic architecture of Yichud. Chasnesh has more, so bleed out next week. Thank you.